Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really getting into some fascinating ideas, stuff about how we get things done, how we take control, you know, how we show up.
Yeah, the fundamentals.
Exactly. And for this, our guide is actually the author of the source material we've been digging into, Ed Reif. He's also the host of the podcast, The Loophole Manufacturing Focus. So you're hearing it straight from the source today.
It's great to be here. Yeah, looking forward to unpacking this.
Fantastic. And for you listening, we've been really immersed in this work, and a few big ideas kept jumping out. We're going to look at habits versus discipline. Is there really a difference?
Oh, definitely. A crucial one.
Right. And how our brains, like the different parts, affect our choices, this whole triune brain thing.
The layers.
Yeah. And then there's a really specific formula for habits, F-E-A-R. Sounds intense, but we'll break it down.
It's very practical, actually.
Good. Also, the power of focus, something called the RAS.
Your brain's filter, essentially.
Yep. Okay. And finally, how we project authority. Not just power, but like presence. And this idea, you talk about a personal speed limit.
Yeah, that speed limit concept.
Yeah.
It often surprises people.
It really grabbed me. This idea that maybe trying so hard to be disciplined, it might actually be less effective than just building the right habits.
Well, yeah. Think about it. Discipline takes effort, right? Constant effort.
Totally. It's exhausting sometimes.
It is. And it's a finite resource.
Mm-hmm.
Habits, once they're built, they kind of run on autopilot.
Mm-hmm.
Much less draining. Discipline is more for the starting point.
Okay. Okay. That distinction feels important. There's this quote. I think it captures it perfectly. People say, I wish I had their discipline when seeing someone consistently go to the gym.
Right. We've all heard that or said it.
Yeah. But what they're seeing is not discipline. It's a habit. Discipline is only required at the start to create the habit. That just flips the whole thing, doesn't it?
It really does. Because you see the consistent action and you assume it requires this monumental ongoing effort every single day. But for the person doing it, if it's a true habit, the effort is much, much lower than it was when they first started.
Yeah.
The discipline was needed to, you know, get over that initial hump. To show up when it felt hard.
Like learning an instrument, maybe? At first, it's all conscious effort, super clunky.
Exactly. Scales, finger positions. It takes real discipline to practice that boring stuff.
Uh-huh.
But eventually, it becomes more automatic, smoother. You're not thinking about every single finger placement in the same way. That's the habit taking over.
Got it. So discipline kicks things off. Habit keeps them rolling.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this ties into the brain stuff you mentioned, the triune brain model. How does that help us understand this habit-discipline dynamic?
Well, it's a useful model, right?
Yeah.
Not perfect, maybe, but useful.
Mm-hmm.
It suggests we've got these sort of layers, a basic survival brain.
The reptile part.
Kind of, yeah. Then the emotional mammal brain. And then the logical human prefrontal cortex layer on top. And the thing is, especially under stress or, you know, perceived threat, the emotional brain can just hijack the system. It overrides the logical planning part.
Ah, emotional hijacking. I've heard that term.
Yeah. So your best intentions, your logical plan to, say, eat healthy or exercise, can get derailed by an immediate emotional impulse. Stress hits, and suddenly that comfort food seems like the only answer.
Right. Logic goes out the window. So how do we train the logical brain to stay in charge more often? Is that where FEAR comes in?
That's exactly where it comes in. It's designed specifically to engage the emotional brain, but in a constructive way, to use its power to build the habits you actually want.
Okay, FEAR. It's a memorable acronym, maybe a bit startling.
Yes, it is. Intentionally so, perhaps. It grabs attention.
So walk us through it. F.
F is focus.
Yeah.
You have to lock in on the specific action you want right then and there and connect it to why it matters now. Not some distant goal, but an immediate feeling.
Oh.
Emotion? You need to generate a feeling about it. Desire? Maybe excitement? Maybe even urgency? Like, I need this change. It has to resonate emotionally, not just logically.
Makes sense.
Agitation.
Yeah.
This is one that sometimes throws people. It means intentionally disrupting your normal routine somehow. Shaking things up. It signals to your brain, hey, something's different.
Like breaking a pattern.
Precisely. It creates a little friction, makes the brain notice. And
repetition. That one seems obvious for habits.
It is, but it's crucial. Practice.
Mm-hmm.
Doing the thing over and over, strengthening those pathways until it becomes, well, automatic.
That agitation piece is really interesting. Why is disrupting things helpful? Feels like we usually want stability.
Well, our brains love efficiency.
Right.
They default to existing patterns.
Yeah.
Agitation, that little bit of disruption, It creates novelty. It flags the moment as important, different. It basically helps bypass the language brain, the logical part, and speak more directly to that emotional pattern-making part of the brain. That's where you get the deeper changes to stick.
Talking directly to the animal brain. Okay, I get that. Now, you also mentioned the RAS reticular activating system. How does that fit with focus and habits?
Think of the RAS as like your brain's bouncer or receptionist. It decides what gets past the velvet rope into your conscious awareness.
Okay.
There's way too much information hitting your senses all the time. The RAS filters it based on what you've told it is important, what you're focusing on.
So if I'm focusing on, say, buying a red car.
Suddenly you see red cars everywhere,
right? Yeah, exactly.
That's your RAS at work. So if you consciously direct your focus towards your goals, towards the habit you're building, you're basically programming your RAS to spot opportunities related to that, to notice things that support it.
And filter out distractions.
And filter out distractions.
Yeah.
Conversely, if you're always focused on problems or what could go wrong, well, your RAS will diligently serve those up too. It highlights what you focus on.
Wow. So our focus literally shapes our reality in a way. Okay, let's shift slightly to projecting authority. This isn't just about being the boss, is it? It's about how you come across.
Not at all. It's about presence, perceived control, confidence. It's largely nonverbal.
And you list five cues: movement, appearance, confidence, connection, and intent.
That's right. They all feed into that overall perception: how you move, how you present yourself, the vibe you give off, how you connect with others, and whether you seem to have a clear purpose.
And posture is a big part of movement, right? You have this specific instruction. Are your ears over your heart? Is your heart over your pelvis? Why that alignment?
It's fundamental. That simple vertical stacking, it communicates stability, groundedness, calm. When you're physically aligned like that, you nonverbally signal that you're centered, present, and in control of yourself. It's a powerful baseline for projecting authority before you even speak.
Okay, which brings us to this speed limit idea. This feels really key and maybe the most counterintuitive bit. Why slow down to seem authoritative?
Because think about what happens when we feel fear or insecurity or pressure.
We speed up, talk fast, fidget.
Exactly. Everything accelerates. Your thoughts race, your voice gets higher, faster, your gestures become jerky, you leak nervousness. So consciously setting a speed limit, deciding to move deliberately, speak at a measured pace, pause before answering it, directly counters those fear signals.
I see.
It projects calm, thoughtfulness, control. It implies you have time, that you're not rushed or flustered by the situation. As I put it, fear speeds things up. Set the speed limit before fear sets it for you.
Take control of the pace before the feeling does. Wow. Okay.
It's about acting as if you were composed, even if inside you're feeling the pressure. That external composure can actually influence your internal state too.
And this links to the composure pendulum, avoiding extremes.
Precisely. You don't want to swing into posturing, which is like fake, forced, overly aggressive authority, brittle.
Right. Trying too hard.
Yeah. And you don't want to swing the other way into collapse, withdrawing, making yourself small, hesitant.
Okay.
True composure, true authority is in the middle. Balanced, centered, calm, present. Like that description of Maximus you mentioned, never in a hurry, having both gravity and charm. That's the sweet spot.
Gravity and charm. I like that. Okay. Wow. We've covered a lot of ground. Let's try and pull the main threads together.
Good idea. It connects in interesting ways.
Yeah, it really does. So for you listening, key things to maybe chew on. First, that habit versus discipline thing. Remember the gym quote? What looks like discipline is often a well-worn habit. Discipline is just the starter motor.
The activation energy.
Right. Then the FEAR formula: focus, emotion, agitation, repetition. A practical tool, not scary, for building habits by talking to that emotional brain.
Using its own language?
Yeah. And understanding the triune brain helps see why emotions can hijack us and why training that logical part matters.
Knowing the landscape.
And the RAS, your reticular activating system, your focus directs its filter.
Yeah.
Focus on opportunities. You see opportunities.
You prime the pump.
Then the authority cues: movement, appearance, confidence, connection, intent, especially posture, ears over heart, heart over pelvis. Simple, powerful.
Nonverbal foundation.
And finally, that powerful counterintuitive idea: set your speed limit. Fear speeds you up, consciously slowing down projects, calm, control, avoid posturing, avoid collapse, find that composure.
Stay centered on that pendulum.
So thinking about that speed limit idea, here's something I may reflect on. Where in your life could intentionally slowing down physically, mentally, give you more control, more thoughtful decisions?
It'd be anywhere, really.
Yeah.
A tough conversation, learning something new, even just navigating a stressful commute.
Yeah. Maybe in a negotiation or when giving feedback. Where could slowing the pace change the game for you?
It's a really practical point of leverage.
It really is. These ideas, drawn from your work, they offer such a compelling way to think about change and self-mastery. We really encourage you, the listener, to see what resonates and maybe check out the podcast, The Loophole, Manufacturing Focus, for more.
Happy to share the ideas.
Thank you again, seriously, for providing the source material and for this fantastic conversation today.
My pleasure. Thanks for the deep dive. It was enjoyable.